Senator Leahy.
Mr. Secretary, we discussed, or I discussed a couple of these things earlier, and I'd like to go back to that GAO report. It says the Customs and Border Protection staffing allocation needs several thousand additional CBP officers and agricultural specialists. Ports of entry is your budget. Includes not budget for several thousand, but 234 land borders, 295 positions for a radiation portal monitoring staff. That's about two additional officers at each air, land, seaport. Now, when Assistant Commissioner Thomas Winkowski came to Vermont last August, he said at least eight new agents be assigned to Vermont. We're somewhat disappointed because the estimate was we needed 60, but I guess it doesn't make an awful lot of difference. We didn't get any. Any chance we might get any? Whether anywhere between one or anywhere between none and the 60 that's been requested.
I will certainly, I'll get back to you specifically with respect to Vermont. I can tell you that in fiscal year 2007, we budgeted, we got budget money for 1,131 additional CBP officers all up. This fiscal year, we got money for 679 additional ones, and we're asking for 539 next year. So that would get us up to about 2,300.
Yeah, well, that's all well.
That's all
what about Vermont?
Right. I will get back to you specifically.
We need 60. We've been promised eight. We've got nine.
I'll find out exactly what the plan for Vermont is.
And what about on the northern border? DHS promised target of border patrol agents on the northern border by his what they promised, they missed it by about 100. How are we doing on that?
I think we, with what we're requesting in the budget, we expect to have 1,500 in fiscal year 09, which is, I think, what we committed to doing.
Are we going to get them?
Pardon?
Are we going to get them?
Well, if we get the budget request, we will get them.
Well, if it...
I mean, that is what is built into the budget for fiscal year 09.
Right.
Would get us up to 1,500.
Well, because we put money in for these in the past, and nothing's ever happened. That's why I ask. Let's go about this temporary checkpoint, a so-called temporary checkpoint. And you said that I'd asked this 100 miles from the border, along a road that's paralleled by dozens of other roads that people could take if they wanted to avoid the checkpoint. Well, I realize that we can keep our fear factor going. It doesn't seem to stop anybody. You said you would let me know about this, and yet we now have it in the budget. Is this going to be a case of building them, and then you tell us?
Let me say this first of all, Senator.
Bite us to a ribbon cutting or something?
Well, let me first correct one thing. We're going to be at 1,500 Border Patrol agents in the northern border by the end of this fiscal year. So it'll be by the end of September.
All right.
So we have that funded already.
That's good news.
On the issue of the checkpoints, I don't know as we sit here what the plan is with respect to the checkpoint in Vermont. I can tell you generally.
You got a $4 million
for the northern border checkpoints.
For the Vermont checkpoints, and this is in the so-called Swanton sector, which is the northwest part of our state. The other one is in the northeastern part of the state. Actually, they're getting down to the southern part of the state. Are we going to have permanent checkpoints or not?
I, in terms of the specific plan for Vermont, I can't tell you as I sit here. I can tell you in general what the view on checkpoints is. And to be honest, I'm probably most familiar with it in the southern border, but the concept is the same. Checkpoints do serve a valuable function in intercepting.
Wait a minute. The concept is the same. Are you saying that the situation on crossing our northern border is the same as our southern border?
No, that the concept.
I know you've got that billions of dollars being spent on a virtual fence that doesn't work in the southern border, doing the same thing here in the northern
border? No, I'm saying the concept of using a checkpoint that is not at the border is basically the same concept. It's the recognition that there will be people who will get through the border that you can stop secondarily at a checkpoint.
Well, of course you can, but when you've got, you got this thing sitting out there, you've got a whole lot of roads and go around, and we are not talking about a border where there's that much of a need to come across. I mean, the Canadians, their dollar, because our dollar has slipped so badly, their economy is booming. They've got their dollars worth some days more than ours. They're not rushing across to get jobs. It's not the...
I agree. It's not illegal. And the issue in the Canadian is not border is not a big flow of illegal migrants.
Well, the reason I ask is you got border Derby Line, Stansted, Quebec. This is a town that... It's two different names, but it's one town. Half is in the province of Quebec. Half is in Vermont. They want to put barriers up so that if the person in Vermont wants to ask the high school kid who lives across the street to come and babysit for 3 hours, they can't do it. And they were told that we don't have the Border Patrol not enough people to do that. And we're going to start sticking people 100 miles away?
Well, let me just make it clear. The purpose of having the checkpoints in the northern border isn't that we think there's a large flow of illegal migrants. It's other kinds of smuggling that we worry about, drug smuggling, things of that sort. I've asked the Border Patrol about this. Their experience is, and I have to credit their experience because they have, you know, the years on the ground, is that the checkpoint serves as an additional layer of protection against smuggling. Now, I agree with you, we need to add border inspectors.
You get an occasional smuggler, you get an occasional some kid with pot in his car, and that's great, and you're stopping all these law-abiding people going back and forth. I mean, I mentioned the thing where I'm told by an officer pointing to his gun, that's all the authority I need.
Yeah, that's improper. So I'm not going to condone an officer saying that to anyone.
I understand, but I mean, and that's fine. I can, when the superior officer walked up and saw me there, I don't pretend to be a lip reader, but certain expletives I could understand when he saw the situation. But it should be the same if it was Patrick Jones.
Oh, sure, absolutely. It's completely...
I mean, it's just... it.
Let me be really...
You get the impression sometimes, and I hear this from foreign visitors all the time, that we treat everybody as an enemy, and we start treating our own people as an enemy. Mr. Secretary, if I had any hair, I'd be tearing it out and concerned something you can appreciate. But, I mean, this is crazy.
Well, let me say this. Let me say that on the checkpoint, I gather we have not completed a site selection assessment for the permanent checkpoint yet. So that still hasn't been decided. On the broader issue you raise, I'm in violent agreement with you. I periodically hear complaints at the airport or whatever it is about people who have been treated rudely or mistreated by somebody in the government. You know, I have 208,000 employees in this department. The people at the ports of entry process millions of people a year. I have no doubt, statistically, that some small number are rude and inconsiderate. I wish I could root it out. I've spoken to the head of Customs and Border Protection. They are working hard to send a message that courtesy is an important element of the job. My experience with human nature, including a lot of years, and you were a prosecutor too, is that you will always get some small number of people who, when you give them a badge and a gun, will take it as a license to be discourteous and rude. All I can tell you is, to the very best of our ability, is our policy to send a message that everybody, whether they're a foreigner or an American citizen, ought to be treated politely at a port of entry or any interaction. And to the extent that people violate that stricture, I regret it, and I apologize for it. It's not, you know, I wish I could make everybody be courteous. I haven't yet found the magic key to doing that, but we'll continue to try.
And I will submit for the record a question of whether you're going to bring into effect the Custom and Border Protection Agency of Law, the CBP, which is supposed to go into effect on July 6, 2008, and... But this is one I'm not asking you to respond to, but we'll submit it for the record. But it is granting federal law enforcement officer status to Customs and Border Protection agents, something we put in to try to stem the number who are retiring. And you and I should chat about these checkpoints.
All right.
May you come up and take a ride with me in Vermont. I'll show you how easy it is to just avoid that.
I'm happy to chat with you about it. I mean, we got the same argument was presented to us in Arizona, but I have to tell you, and it shouldn't just be me, I should bring...
Those are different situations. We don't have thousands of Canadians rushing down here because they like our health care system or our economy better than theirs.
I should bring, if we're going to do that, I'll bring the Border Patrol up with me so they can tell you what their own experience is. I mean, I have not been a border agent, but I've talked to them. And
I have, too.
And they have.
I have, too.
You know, I'm not wedded to it in any particular place. I'm open-minded, but I am wedded to the idea that if the chief of the Border Patrol looks me in the eye and says, I need this, I'm inclined to defer to him, but I'm happy to pursue the discussion with you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.